a rich man's world. I have turned the soul of this beautiful land, but the
No, but I'm just wondering if you can put the tiredness and the fact you've got to do a lot just aside for this 1 hour. 1 hour of your day.
Why? What made you think that I wasn't going to do that?
Because sometimes you don't, and it transfers over onto the podcast, and everyone knows what sort of a mood Grace was in that day.
Well, that's just bullshit. I'm not even going to fucking lie. That's not crap.
It's not.
Do you know what pisses me off and it translates onto the podcast?
What?
Is when I can't get a word in. That's what pisses me off.
Here we go. We've already got it revved up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, everyone, to the Talk and Fit podcast with your hosts, Lewis and Grace, back for another week, episode 66, I'm going to say. Yeah, 66. Shit.
Yeah.
66. We're going to have a bit of a blast from the past this episode. But before we get to that, Grace, how was your week?
I want to ask you first, actually. Oh, okay. How was your week, Lewis?
Fabulous. I had a good week because I've finished my cut.
Woo! Oh, have you actually?
Yeah, I've got my final weigh-in tomorrow, Monday. Well, today, if you're listening. Well, it depends when I fucking edit this. So I've been a bit fucking slack recently. But final weigh-in is tomorrow on Monday. It'll mark the 12 weeks. I could have ended this cut probably two weeks ago. I didn't have to go 12 weeks.
Cut.
Yeah, but
a quarter of the year.
She's done.
Spent cutting.
Yeah, she's done. She's done. This week, I've literally been it's been the worst week in terms of off my diet. You know how people, like, at the end of their cut, they probably, like, really chime in and, like, narrow it down and crap me out one more week. I weighed myself on Monday this week, the 11-week mark, and I was 87.5. I dropped fucking another kilo or something stupid over the last week, and I thought, fuck this. I thought, I'm losing so much weight so quickly. I'm like, I've got to reward myself. And so this week I have still been eating the same foods, and it's been weird. I can tell I've been eating a lot less because I have no real big appetite. Mm-hmm. Like if I eat a substantial meal, I'm feeling that for the rest of the day. Like,
yeah, that's good.
I've just sort of taken it a bit easier this week. I've had a few off meals here and there, not like a whole day. Like yesterday I had this fucking pizza because we went out for Grace's birthday for lunch. Oh, it was so good, actually. It was unreal. You would have seen it if you saw my story. I will be interested to see what I weigh tomorrow morning. Hopefully it's 87 because I did set out the original goal was to be 87 kilos.
Really?
Yeah. So if I get there, I've achieved my goal. But even if I, like, don't, I fucking don't care.
Anyway,
I don't care. I look so much better than I thought I was going to at this stage. Like,
are you not 87 point something anyway?
87.5. But, like, I meant, like, 87, you know, like, I know it sounds stupid, I know, but that's what I mean. I don't, and it shouldn't be your goal if you are cutting is a weight. Just be happy with when you get to a stage like the cut I did at the end of last year. I just started cutting down. What I did was cutting down from 110 kilos, so it was fucking a lot more weight to lose. So by the time I'd gotten to 90 in that cut, I'd lost 20 kilos virtually, and I was like, whoa, that's so much. Like, I need to stop. And I was a lot leaner than I was, so I thought, oh, this would be pointless going any leaner. But then this cut, because I didn't take it that far in the bulk, because I knew I didn't have to, I've come back down to below the 90s for the first time fucking ever. And I've just, yeah, I'm just happy with how I look.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah, it's done. I'm going to go into maintenance for about 4 weeks just to slowly increase my food intake. And then after that, it'll be a big, hefty bulk. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for the support, actually, that I've received over this period of time. Everyone's so fucking, like, supportive and, like, positive in this space.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount of, like, comments, like, even people that, you know, the people that I love, like, I could kiss on the fucking mouth.
On the lips.
And the people that like your stories on Instagram, yeah, like, bless. They deserve a big smooch on the lips. Like, don't worry, they're all guys, but
a
I'm
big
just
kiss on the lips.
Yeah, I would kiss each and every one of you guys on the lips. Because, like, it's this, like, you know, you have this, like, mutual, what would you say?
Yeah, like you like their story, they like yours. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like this mutual thing you got going on with people that you've fucking never even spoken to in, like, of real life. Like, you just, you know, but you're just super friendly with over social media, and it's just really nice. It's
very wholesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, shout out. Thank you, everyone, because, yeah, I'm very happy with the results, and, yeah, I'm excited to move on and get big and chunky again.
Yay, I'm excited.
You know the most unsupportive people have been? My fucking parents, that's who.
They just don't understand, though, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking malnourished. Oh, you look fucking unhealthy. Oh.
Lewis's mum said the other day, oh, why don't you pick another sport that, like, you'll be really good at so you don't have to keep doing these really unhealthy, toxic diets?
Yeah, she sounded like a boomer. That's the first time I've heard her talk like that, and I thought, wow, you sound fucking 80.
That's right. They keep you humble.
They do. They do.
They keep you humble.
They do. Your dad's good, but because he understands it, so he's really supportive.
Yeah,
so
dad
I will
gets
shout
it.
Out to Bones, but... Yeah, everyone else sort of, you have to obviously, you know, understand it in a way. But he's really good because people will start criticizing it and he'll just come in and straight up defend it because he's like, you don't get it. He's like, you just don't get it.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's unreal to have that as well.
You know, Dad's pretty solid.
Yeah. But how was your week, Grace?
My week was pretty good this week. I did a couple of...
What did you do yesterday? You got to tell what we did.
I'm getting there. Okay, just let me explain my week. I'm just going to remember what my week was. I don't know. I've just been busy. The gym's been pretty good. I've been able to hit all my sessions, thankfully, which is really fun. And I'm getting stronger. I'm really trying to push the food. I want to start eating a little bit more, but I don't know. I'm just... kind of struggling.
You're in that limbo phase a little bit where it's sort of you're not like there's no real need to push for anything too hard?
Well, yeah, there is. Like I need to be pushing for a bulk
right now.
I suppose.
Yeah, that's all right though.
100%. But I'm just sort of – I'm in the sort of stage where I like the way I look to a point.
Yes.
But I'm also not that hungry. Like I'm not as hungry as I normally am. So I just don't really want to – like stuff my face, but I have to. So I'm going to lock in and start doing that. But I've had a really good week. I've got a couple of new clients, which is so exciting.
Dub.
I love it. It makes me so happy. So it
makes me happy when you say, I'm like, yes.
Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
Another thing that was really good news is, I don't know if you guys remember, but last week I told you that I went to the dentist and I was so fucking upset. I was crying in the chair because I was so scared because they had to give me fillings. And I went back on Thursday because I was told that I needed two more fillings in the other side of my mouth. So I get there and I'm just a lather of sweat and I'm shaking and I'm so nervous. And I sit in the chair and I had a different dentist and he did an x-ray of my mouth just to double check that I actually needed the fillings. And turns out... all of my teeth are absolutely perfect.
That's outrageous.
So there's not a single hole in any of my teeth.
That's outrageous. So you copped fillings and needles in your mouth for no reason the week
and
prior.
And trauma, for no fucking reason. And if I went back to
the same...
good
old public health system.
If I went back to the same dentist, he was going to drill into like three more of my teeth and there's no holes
in
them.
That's fucking ridiculous.
So I got the good news that my teeth are perfect and they'll be perfect until I'm like 90 if I keep looking after them. Because I knew deep down in myself that I was looking after my teeth so fucking good. Like my... tooth brushing routine is so solid and in depth.
It's almost a bit excessive, some would call it.
It's so optimal.
Yeah.
It's a little over the top.
But
no,
yeah.
I was like, there's no fucking way that I have holes in my teeth and Lewis doesn't.
Excuse me. I have wonderful teeth.
Yeah, well, so
and
do
Grace
I.
Grace is really jealous, actually.
Well, now
you're not because now you don't have holes in your teeth. So.
Yeah, and I knew it.
That seems like such a basic fucking step to just skip over. Oh, we won't get you an OPG. Won't get you a dental x-ray.
It wasn't
x-ray.
An OPG.
Oh, it was that one that's in there, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
it's
you bite
on the
down
wall.
On the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, similar. But still, you'd think that'd be a basic step. Oh, I might just double check that this isn't a stain just so I don't fucking go prodding in and doing just irrelevant shit.
Literally, and it took like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
And he was like, oh no, your teeth are fine.
Well, that's good news.
Anyway, so then that was my Thursday. That was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, I went for my very first park run, guys. Woo! Saturday morning, 8 a.m. with one of my friends from uni. Shout out Emily. She's an absolute weapon. I get up at like 7:15. I've slept through my alarm. I've got to be at Carrington at like 7:45. Yep. So I don't even get time to have a breakfast. Cup of Optimal. Tea or breakfast.
Optimal for a 5K run.
So I'm unintentionally doing my very first 5K run fasted and I rush to get there. And then I finally find Emily amongst the like 450 other people yeah. that are there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, how are you going? What, like, you know, how'd you get up this morning? She goes, oh, yeah, I'm really good. I've just ran the course just quickly beforehand just to, you know, get, just like, a good a quick run in. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean you've run the course? And she's like, yeah, I just did, like, the course we're about to run, like, the 5K just before you got here.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, and then she jogged along with me, and it was so good. I had a stitch literally almost the whole way, but which was so painful. But I ran nearly all of it, guys, and that's unheard of. I've never done that in my life. So it was absolutely grueling, and my legs are so sore, but she jogged it with me. And may I just say that we were talking, having full-on conversation the whole fucking run, which – I don't know. I just think that makes it so much harder.
It does. It does.
Like, I just couldn't catch my breath. And then I got my little finish token and I came 344th.
With a time of?
With a time of 35 minutes.
Woo!
Excuse me. I came home to Lewis still in bed in the dark in his room.
What?
Snuggled up in bed, and I jump on him and go, I just ran my first 5K. And then he wakes up and goes, oh, like, what time do you run it in? And I told him 35 minutes and how Emily said that was really solid for my first go. And he goes, oh, that's a bit fucking slow.
I didn't say that.
You big fat snail.
Oh, well, I didn't say that.
I need to get you a snail shell to wear because that's the slowest 5K anyone's ever fucking run. And, like, I don't know. I just thought I did a good job. I thought 35 minutes was pretty solid for my first go.
I was joking. Whilst I didn't call you a big fat snail. Lewis, I called you a snail.
You were not joking at all. Lewis was a hater yesterday morning.
No, I wasn't. I woke up. I was like, good job, firstly. I didn't just instantly go into throwing shade at you. And then I said, what time did you run it in? And you said 35 minutes. And then I had my thoughts that you were going to run it easily under 30. No, that's why.
And then it was just silence. I said 35 minutes and he goes,
oh.
Well, I told you, like, I'm not a distance runner. Mm. You put me on the 100.
That's fair.
You put me on the 100 or
you have
two.
Asthma.
Lewis, listen.
Sorry.
Fuck. Okay. You put me on the 100 or 200 meter sprint track and I'll body it.
You'll body it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
200 meters is like my limit.
Just like a gazelle.
And then I'm done. So I was
long legs that just
I was so
made for sprinting.
So proud. And the fact that I had a stitch as well, like, that just makes it worse. But anyway, best way to start my Saturday. I hated it when I got up.
Yeah.
Once I did it, I felt better than everyone else on this earth.
Yeah, yeah. You felt like the knobheads that do it every weekend and think they're just better than everyone because they got up at 7 a.m. to go for a ride.
I also told everyone that I saw that I ran 5K that
morning.
Yeah, because
that's just the most typical thing of them to do.
Because I could. Because I did.
Because you did, yeah.
And everyone else that slept in.
That's like
loser.
The perfect stereotype. I reckon I've seen one of those, you know, like Will from the bloody You would have made one of those, like the people that run 5K every morning. Like they start talking about like, it'd be like someone's died or something. You come home, someone's like, goes, oh, well, I ran 5K. You know,
well,
I just ran 5K.
I got up at 5:30 and ran 5K this morning.
Yeah.
What did you do?
No, but that's good. That's good. It's the fun part. Did you find you had a runner's high at all?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Can I just say, as someone who was very clued on about nutrition and fitness and things like that,
I
for you to get
Lewis.
Up and not have eaten anything or had any form of caffeine before this run,
no,
that's outrageous.
I completely understand that. And I went into this run knowing I was going to be at a disadvantaged position because I simply didn't have time to eat because I was so tired.
I suppose 35 minutes is good considering your circumstances that you did have.
Please. So. Yeah. It was so good considering everything that, you know, everything I was doing or everything that I didn't do. So I'm proud.
I reckon if you had A, the nutrition, B, the right sort of supplementation before it and hydration, because you woke up and ran half an hour after waking up, you probably weren't really hydrated properly. And I reckon if I ran it with you, I reckon we could push you to get under 30 minutes.
And if I wasn't talking the whole way.
Yeah, that's
like
what I mean.
Like me and Emily were just chatting.
Chatting. So it was casual. So that's fine.
But guys, parkrun's fucking insane. I couldn't believe there was like 400 people there.
Yeah.
There was kids, there was dogs, there was like people pushing twin prams.
Yeah.
And.
Did any of the kids and stuff beat you?
Yeah, of course they did. Well, I've never done a park run. What the fuck? Just there's some sweaty little kids there that are built for it. I'm not built for long distance. So
did the babies in the pram beat you?
Yeah. When I'm telling you, I was not even at the halfway point, and there's these people pushing fucking twin prams going past us the opposite way, and we weren't even halfway done.
They're sleeping on you too. They'll probably just like. And you're there like, fuck, just in the pram.
Oh, my God. It was so good, though. I potentially will be doing it again. I want to do a park run with you. I think that would be awesome. Yeah. We should do the Carrington one.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Let's do it next. Oh, no.
Do you have a goal with it? Like, would you want to run a certain time? See, my thing when I was running them in COVID was
I wanted to run a sub 25.
No, sub 20 minutes.
Well, you didn't, did you?
No, but I was close. It was a few minutes off, but.
He
it's fucking close. Hard. No, I can give credit to everyone that does 5Ks. They're fucking hard.
100%.
They're so much longer than you think when you start running it and you get to about like the halfway mark, even 3Ks, and you're like, holy fuck, I still got to run 2K. You're like, this is like a distance.
Nah, look, I haven't sat down and nutted out any goals yet, but like if I sort of get more into it and I might do another park run and then lock in, then yeah, I would like to, you know, have a time goal.
Yeah.
A pace goal.
I reckon you could easily start out with getting under 30.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I reckon I could too. I just need to not get a stitch.
Yeah. The best thing too is when you start doing them and doing them often, you find your times just get like quicker and quicker, like every time. Like it's so fun when you start. But then you get to a point probably where you're like, you can't even beat it by a few seconds.
I'm not going to lie, but I don't think it would hit the same running a 5K just like on my own, just... Like,
nah.
I really, really loved the community aspect of the park run, how there was just hundreds of other people doing it too. It made it so much better.
It is challenging on your own because you kind of got to push yourself. So you got to be like, all right, come on, because, like, you could just at any point just stop and just be like, oh, nah, I'm done.
It's just a bit more lonely.
Yeah, it is. You got to have the right music set out for a 5K,
too. I didn't even have music.
Oh, we'll see. That's... You could run a 30-minute, sub-30-minute your next go if you set it up properly, easily.
100%. I was just going for a social run, Lewis. Lewis is making out and trying to, like...
I don't know, make some Olympic record
or something.
well,
my first ever 5K.
I must be just too into the Olympics at the moment because that's been a huge part of our week.
That was a great segue.
Good work. That was really good. And now we're going to have a little bit of a recap of... this big thing that's been going
on
the past week.
We're going to have a recap of the Olympics as if no one else has been watching it.
Well, we'd like to interrupt this thrilling chat to let you guys know that this episode is brought to you by Limitless Nutrition.
With the biggest and the best range of supplements on the market, the team at Limitless Nutrition make it their priority to ensure the supplements you purchase match your health and fitness needs.
And with countless specials every month of the year, you're bound to save some cash.
So head on over to www.limitlessnutrition.online to start purchasing.
And be sure to use code TALKINFIT10, that's TALKINFIT10, at checkout to save 10% off your order.
Now, back to the podcast.
You know, I bet you any money that everyone wants to know what our thoughts were on this week's Olympics. Do you know what's wigged me out?
I've been waiting for it.
They pack in so much over this week that it's wigging me out that last week we're sitting here saying, oh, we're watching the opening ceremony. Like, feels like it's been 2 weeks worth of sport.
I know, that's why I'm in like, the 1 week. It's a month long.
I don't think it is, but I think if you add the Paralympics.
It being 2 weeks long for some reason.
Yeah, I think it might feel like a month long, but then you add in the Paralympics and I think it actually is a month long. So
I'm gonna be depressed when the Olympics is over. Mm. It sort of almost gives
takes
you
up your whole
gives
life.
Me a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Like I get to go home and turn on the Olympics.
I've realized how actually like I guess would patriotic be the word I am for my like country.
Hell yeah.
Because like when Australia are playing, it could even be for a fucking bronze, right? I am so or it could be even not even for a medal. I get so passionately involved in the game. Like, and I sit here and think we're playing like water polo or something, like something I've never I never watch unless it's at the Olympics once every 4 years. And I'm there like last night, because we came back from being down, I'm there like, yeah, fucking let's go. Like, I'm like getting pumped.
Yeah,
you get I'm like, shit. Like, I get so, and if we lose to like Americans and stuff, I get so bitter. I'm like, yeah, fuck the Yanks. Honestly, fucking
America and Great Britain.
I hate Great Britain too.
They're the two countries that I'm like, I would do anything to beat. And I'm like cheering when they lose.
And the cheating Chinese as well. Yeah, the cheating Chinese.
Those three can fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I love when they lose. Yeah. It makes me so happy.
But what were some? We'll go over our highlights of this games this for this week.
I just quickly want to say. I saw a TikTok the other day and I related to it so hard. I'm pretty sure I reposted it. It was of some girl like watching the Olympics, just crying her eyes out because she loves watching everyone win.
Win, yeah. Like, I get so emotional.
Being an empath watching the Olympics. Yeah. It's you see someone win a gold and they're on the podium and you're just like crying.
Yeah. I could cry.
Me too. But it, honestly, I could cry for any country apart from those three that win it.
Yeah.
Like, you get like so in your feels and you could just like sob. And then you also think about the people who lose. Like, yeah, there's winners, but there's also losers. And that's so sad. Like, I love when smaller countries win. Like, I'm talking about. Oh,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like the full underdog countries. It just makes me sad that they get to go there and they don't get to take a medal home. Yeah. Like, they deserve it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just being an empath and watching the Olympics, if you know, you know. It's just so emotional.
What I get emotional with, it's a weird thing. I think I was explaining this to Grace yesterday, is I'll watch it and I'll watch, like, it'll be like an Australian win and they sort of get interviewed or even after, like, and they're celebrating and stuff. And I, like, envision what it would be like to have just done that myself.
Yes.
And what my reaction and response would be. And in every time I think that, I could start crying in that moment. Like, my eyes start watering up. I go, holy fuck. Because, I don't know, I think we're very, very alike in that we're very sports orientated. And to win a gold medal at an Olympics would be like literally a pinnacle of an achievement in life. Like, absolutely. Literally massive.
Absolutely.
And it'd be so awesome, like, to achieve that. Like, not that we ever will, but, like, it would be, well, you never know, but, you know, it'd be awesome to, like, have that. You know what I mean? Almost makes me want to do one of these sports. Plus, like, every time I see it, I'm like, I've got to do
aura.
It.
Infinite aura.
Oh, shit, yeah.
No, 100%. It makes me want to get into, like, literally every sport that I watch to become a gold medalist in it. And we were talking the other day and we were like, like, at this point in our life, we're kind of old from an athlete perspective.
Yeah, but there's some
what
sports.
What sport would we do? And we reckon we'd do the mixed archery.
Archery, yeah, because like I saw doubles. They do like the doubles, men and women, like, because there was like people winning it that were in their like 40s and stuff. So I thought, I was like, if Grace and I pick this up as a hobby now, do it for 10 years, I think if we really knuckle in for 10 years, we could be qualifying for an Olympics.
Hell yeah. Well, what about the Turkish dude that came silver in the, was it the pistol?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He hasn't been trained in his whole life. It was something like he had a dispute with his ex-wife or some shit, and like to let out some anger, he was like shooting guns.
Fucking hell.
Turns out he's really good at it, made it to the Olympics, won silver, flew home the next day.
Just like, casually.
Was just so nonchalant. And he was about nonchalant.
If you know the Turkish guy, this is a bloke that was getting like put, he went viral because in the pistol shooting, they wear like headphones, they wear like glasses. These glasses, it's got like a lens that like helps magnify where they're looking, but also like a cover on their other eye that they're not looking so they don't get like distracted or whatever. And he wore nothing, no headphones, no glasses, nothing.
Hand in pocket,
and just had the pistol lined up and was just popping them down, nearly won gold. He came second, he got silver. Yeah. Unreal, that's aura. You want to talk about aura? Yeah. That's fucking aura.
That was crazy.
Yeah. What else? Oh, I'm going to make a statement now. I'm going to take back what I said last week about equestrian being the worst Olympic sport.
Yeah, what the actual fuck? Because that was the worst
we watched. No, so what I'll say, I don't like the dressage, the dancing horses. That's just, I know it's funny and cute and whatever, but it's not
funny and cute. It's so fucking impressive and difficult. Yeah, you don't understand.
Stop. Just because I say that doesn't mean I'm not saying it's not impressive, right? I do understand how hard it is.
Funny and cute's probably not. It's pretty shitty adjectives.
Yeah, but it just, okay, I'll just say this, I'm not a fan of the dressage, but the cross country is fucking really good. That was like full on. But then also the show jumping to finish and like win a medal with, like we watched the Aussie bloke win silver in it. And oh my God, when I say my balls were in my mouth because, and it was midnight, it was like fucking 12:30. Grace and I are in a room and we're watching him go around. If he knocked one, what are they called?
One rail
and got like a penalty, we wouldn't have been in medal contention because he was sat in second. And what they do at the very end, so they like culminate the penalties or scores. Well, yeah, the penalties of the three. Mm-hmm. And then the people with the like least amount of penalties are in the lead. But what they do is they do one more show jumping round. So they go around a course and jump, and they've got to obviously make it in a time too to avoid a time penalty and stuff. And what they do is they have whoever's coming first goes last, and then they work up that way. So if you've got the least amount of penalties, you go last. Most, you know, that qualify. I think it was like the top 20 qualifier. Or would I? Can't
yeah. So remember. So top 20 qualifier, 20th goes first.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And something like that.
And so we're watching it, and we finally got to old mate, and the two British people that went third and fourth both got over with no penalties. They did a perfect run, and we're sitting here thinking, fuck.
So
if he knocked one, just one rail, or even got like a much of a time penalty.
Let me quickly explain a little bit too. So what happened was between, I think it was something like the top five positions.
Yeah.
There was only about one or two penalties between first and fifth.
Yeah.
And what happens is if you knock a rail, that's four penalties added to your score. So if anyone in the top five knocked a rail, immediately they're out of medal contention if three other people go clear.
Yeah, and which they did.
Which they did.
And so it came to him, and we're watching him, and oh my God, like my ball, because they could clip it with the, like the tiniest bit of their hoof as they come over, and it can like wobble. Sometimes they clip it and it doesn't fall, but you hear them like they've hit it. And oh, he got over perfect, and we were like, yeah! Like, because we knew it was guaranteed silver.
Yes.
Then it went to the German bloke who was this gun, and we were watching him. All he had to do then was clip one.
And
clip
one row,
and we would have gotten gold. And so we're watching, like, praying, like, please, 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 please. And he made it around perfect and won gold. It was pretty impressive because I can imagine the pressure he would have had.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't even think he would have finished top three. Like, he wouldn't have gotten a medal.
No.
And he was the current back-to-back Olympic champ or something. He's a bit of a legend. But that, I've never experienced such, like, heightened intensity in that sport watching it. Like, so I will give it to it.
It adds to it, too, in that you're probably, like, you and the horse are a team.
Yeah.
So it can honestly be a matter of you can do everything perfectly to enable the horse to jump clearly. But if perhaps the horse just doesn't pick up its back leg just that bit high enough,
yeah,
you're fucked. And there you go.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not even a matter of, like, the human does everything perfectly and you're guaranteed. It's sort of like you've got to, like, trust the horse as well.
Yeah.
And, oh, they just did so good. It was so, such a good watch. Loved it. So intense.
It was. So I will give it to the equestrian. It was, I was a fan. I definitely was a fan. What would you say, what were your, like, best sports to watch, do you reckon, this week? What have been your top three?
I love the equestrian, yeah, obviously. I've also been really, really loving the archery.
Yeah, that's
just
love it.
I just really like it. It's so fast paced, and it's just a good watch. Yeah. I don't know. I just
the Koreans.
I enjoy watching it.
They're fucking good at that.
And obviously the swimming's like you can't beat the swimming.
I reckon you've forgotten the one sport that I reckon has been the best so far this week has been the fucking freestyle BMX.
Oh my God, yeah.
That was so good to watch.
I forgot. Yeah, no, BMX freestyle fucking next level.
Yeah.
Next level. It is 100% in my like top two sports to watch.
The BMX, it's unreal. It's unmatched. We're watching the skating before it, and the skating was really good. And the best thing about the skating, when we're watching the girls, they're all like, no one was over the age of 19. They're all like fucking kids. There was an 11-year-old Chinese girl competing in the skating. I was like, what the fuck? And it was really good to watch, don't get me wrong. And the Japanese are just filthy good at it. It's just, oh, it's unreal. And the we're watching it, and I was really getting into it because they do like best trick and stuff or whatever for like their like score and whatever. I don't know how, I can't remember how it works, but we watched that, and I remember I was really into it. But then the BMX was on after it the next day, and we're watching the BMX, and I thought, oh, this is like just another level up from the skating. Skating is obviously harder to pin together a lot more tricks and stuff.
It's a lot more. It seems a lot trickier, the skating, but the BMX, the shit that they do is fucking next level.
Fucking next level. And we watched the Aussie girl win bronze, and she literally won it off the back of people just stacking it. And we were there like, low-key, it's so toxic. Even when we're watching the fucking kids skate, well, we were there because there was an Aussie girl who was like 14. We're watching it, and the 11-year-old Chinese girl's going, I'm like, stack, 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 stack. Then she'd fall off and be like, yes! I'm just cheering at this 11-year-old's fucking stacked it. It was so bad. But then we're watching the Aussie girl, and she put up a really good score. She got fucking robbed in her second run. She got a lower score, and she did a front flip. Like, just didn't make sense. It's one of those sports, because it's judged, like it's a subjective thing. It's just bullshit.
I don't think Lewis and I fully understood how they scored it, because even if you guys watched it and you compared the women's and the men's first, second and third, easily the second and third place getters, from our point of view, did better runs than the first place getters. 100%. But we must be missing something. But if you haven't, go back and watch the replay of the men's BMX freestyle final. That's next level.
But there were so many in the girls. We're literally up again. It's because it's fucking Paris time. We're at midnight.
Sorry, the girls were good too. But like the men's, we were like on the edge of our seat.
Yeah.
Like,
but the girls, like, she won the bronze literally off the back of like these girls like stacking it. And we were there, and we're just like praying that every girl after her stacked it.
Yeah.
There was a girl, she was second, then one of the American girls got in front of her, and I thought, that's fucking bullshit, because her run was not impressive. Anyway, then there was like a Chinese girl that stacked it, and then there was the American girl at the end who went last because she was the gun. She stacked it on her first trick, and we're like, yes! Like, she got a bronze, like, it was a bit of bullshit, a bit of luck, but it was like, I'm glad at the end of the day she still got it. But then the men's, oh my fucking god, they take it to then another fucking level. Like, and I feel really bad for our Aussie, because he was putting together some fucking hectic, like, put like a quadruple tail whip,
like reigning gold medalist,
and he was
at Tokyo.
His first run, he put together a really good run. Like, he was going to get into the, like, mid-90s nearly, I reckon, with it. 3 seconds out, last trick, stacks it.
That is fucking so tragic. So
if you stack it in the BMX at all, you aren't getting anything in really above 70.
Nah, yeah.
So it's so like you may as well just stop. You may as well just stop. Like, if you stacked it straight away, you may as well not keep going, because it's pointless. The last trick, and we're like, fuck. But they get two runs, and it's best run that they take. Then he did the second run, and he first two tricks, gunned it. Then he went for his third one, and he just fell a bit funny, and he put his foot down, and it counts as a bit of a stack, I'm pretty sure, if they put their foot on the ground.
It was upsetting.
And we're like, no, like, oh, it was actually devastating. But then the French guy that came out and hit the fucking most wild shit you've ever seen, and the crowd was pumping.
He was
convinced he won gold. Everyone in the crowd was convinced he won gold. Got bronze. We were like, that's outrageous.
I think that's one of the biggest scandals of the Olympics so far, is him winning bronze.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, we were just like on the edge of our seats, like every trick he did.
Yeah.
We were like, whoa, what the fuck? And yet, he thought he won. Everyone thought he won gold. You could tell after the run.
Yeah.
And he didn't even win fucking silver.
If you guys haven't watched the men's BMX freestyle, like the medal match, just go back and watch it, because it is so worth it. It's probably the best bit of Olympics that was on all week. Like,
yeah, insane.
Unreal. It's just so intense and so impressive, and it's just so nice to watch. Like, real satisfying. They'll go for a fucking gnarly thing and then land it perfect. You're like, oh, my God. But no, the Olympics has been hectic this week. Shout out to all the, like, we're watching, I think Grace had fallen asleep by this point, the skeet shooting or whatever, because we had an Aussie girl in it. She got bronze, but the girl that won it was from Guatemala. They've never won a gold medal before, and she was fucking unreal, and she won a gold for Guatemala, the first ever gold.
Go.
I love when they do it, and none of them were upset that they got second, third or whatever, because this girl, like, this woman had won it, that was like, you know, for a country that had never won a gold. So It's like you can't be mad at that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Goosebumps. Gives me goosebumps.
And then I think the 100-meter sprints, the women's 100-meter sprints was on yesterday, and a girl from St. Lucia, I've never won a medal before.
Won gold.
And she won gold.
Let's fucking go.
And they showed them, like, back in St. Lucia, they're, like, people watching it live, and they're pumping. It's like, holy fuck.
Why,
like,
did I just not know that the 100-meter sprints were on? They're one of my favourite events.
The athletics creep up when you're like that. Yeah, like, what? We're too focused on the pool and stuff, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, the sprint heats have started. And you're like, what the fuck?
Well,
like,
I'm going to have to go back and watch the 100-meter sprint because I haven't, and I love it.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But, no. Yeah, the Olympics has been so solid.
So good. So
love
good.
Love it so much.
Lots of fun. We're doing well, too. We're fourth at the moment. We do so well. I said this to Grace, too. We have easily, I'm confident by saying this, Australia has, per capita anyway, the best, the only other country I think that could possibly be in an arm wrestle with us is China, maybe. But we have the best female athletes per capita in the world in this country.
I was just about to say, shout out to the girls, yeah, because we have brought it home this Olympics.
I think we literally have one or two guys that have won gold out of our 12 at the moment. Oh, yeah, two. The 50-meter free and the doubles tennis. 10 of the other golds have come from women.
Shout out.
And that's not just all in the pool, because, like, obviously we dominate the pool. There's, like, the road cycling,
the BMX.
Oh, yeah, the BMX, the race one. Yeah, like, heaps of stuff. We dead set. Yeah, our women, I reckon per capita, I could confidently say we have the best female athletes in the world.
Hell yeah, we do.
Easily.
Amazing.
Easily. So shout out to all the women out there.
The girls.
Literally, yeah, the girls.
We're having our fucking moment. Paris 2024, fuck everyone else. Yeah. We love the girls.
It's one of those things, like, the guys will do a bit poorer in, like, it'll be like the maybe the hockey or the basketball. Not that they are doing poorer, but, like, might do a little bit worse. Then it's like, we've got the women. We don't have to worry about the guys. Like, if the guys do bad, it's like, watch, the girls will get it done. It's like when the Matildas came fourth in the World Cup or whatever it was. It was like, you know, unreal. When you won't ever, literally, I'm almost confident saying in my lifetime, I won't watch the Socceroos come fourth in a World Cup or be a game out from fucking, you know, being in a World Cup final, because it's just not going to be like that for us. Like, I'm a bit pessimistic.
Yeah,
but
we're really pulling through this.
It was like the minute women's sports came about, Australia must have been the first country just onto it.
I was going to say, I'm hoping this is a big push for people to really get behind women's sport, especially at least in Australia now on. Because, yeah, we, like, you can't argue, we've been the best out of everyone.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you can, you know, maybe the level's not there yet, but you got to remember that men have had, like, an 100, 200-year head start of, like, women in sport. Like,
it's,
if there's a discrepancy.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and at the end of the day, argument's redundant.
Yeah, yeah, and at the end of the day, a gold medal for a woman is just the exact same as a gold medal for a bloke, too. So you may as well get behind the women as well. Like, it's, you know, you just got to get behind the girls, because they're doing so good. It's unreal, actually. But, yeah, it's just, I reckon we're easily got the best female athletes here. Easily.
100%.
So, yeah, shout out the girls. But, yeah, that was a bit of our Olympic recap there. As you can tell, we just chatted about that for ages, that we are avid fans of the Olympics. The Olympics. All right, do you want to get into this little thing that we're going to do?
Yes, let's go. This is going to be funny.
If you guys have read the title, you will know what we are discussing. We have got a few old takes of ours that we had, and we just wanted to just cycle back on it because, you know, now we've been doing this for a year and a half now, this podcast. Unreal, actually, now that I say that out loud.
Wow.
But I sort of accidentally stumbled across some old sort of videos of ours and, like, old sort of episodes of ours and listened sort of through. And I thought, oh, my God, we were fucking cringe as fuck when we started this podcast. And holy shit, that's why we say avidly, if you guys have started listening to us, there is no need for you guys to go all the way back to the first episode and listen. Just work your way back from the newest. And then when you hear the quality get a bit like, oh.
We beg you, just don't listen to our.
We don't. Yeah, don't listen to our podcast. Don't listen to it. No, but we obviously got to start from somewhere, and we have very humble beginnings.
We are literally the epitome of just keep trying, it'll get better.
Yeah, literally. Like, we've only improved, not from doing any, like talking-wise, I would say, not from doing any skills or like practicing, and like the practices just come every week from
literally,
doing an
we
episode.
We just kept showing up, yeah, and we've improved.
Yeah,
so
we have.
What is this segment going to be?
So we're just looking back at some old takes, and we're going to see if we still agree or disagree with said takes.
Yeah, right.
So I'll start out with one of mine. That this is the one that I heard, and it sparked this sort of a bit of an idea, and I thought, God, that's so cringe, Lewis. Why would you have said that?
Like, what is it?
So I said, deadlifts aren't a leg movement. They're barely even a back movement. This is when we did like a leg day tier list, I think.
What are they? I know.
So obviously I don't agree with this on either side of this argument, whether they're a leg movement or a back movement.
The
reason that I thought it was ironic is because my old self would be like in shock that to know that every second leg day I do fucking deadlifts. Like I do straight legged deadlifts. Like he would be, old Lewis would be fucking like, his jaw would be on the floor going, you idiot, why are you deadlifting for? That's not even a leg movement. So obviously I disagree with that because, you know, I was very misinformed, I will say. We were very misinformed. So we've only gotten better with time, like Grace said.
We were clutching at straws.
But no, obviously deadlifts are a fantastic leg movement. They're more of a leg movement, I would say, with the variations that they have than they are a back movement.
Mm-hmm.
It would be weird to have deadlifts on a back day,
yeah,
still.
Yeah, a bit odd.
I don't look at them as a back movement, even though they are using, you know, you are getting your erectors and stuff involved, 100%. That's like not the primary focus of them, you know. I think they're fantastic for like straight legged deadlifts or Romanian deadlifts for your glutes and your hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've started doing them. Also because, you know, you get that wave every now and then of you want to just, you know, do a bit of a compound movement.
Conventional deadlift bar.
Yeah, that's true. That where these deadlifts are a bit harder, doing straight-legged and stuff. But, you know, it's fun to pick up weight and throw it around sometimes.
Yeah, look, deadlifts are a great strength-building exercise.
Yeah.
They definitely have their place in building strength and even sort of building strength, building power, you can almost say improving your functionality because it's sort of a movement pattern that you are doing in your everyday life.
Yeah.
They have their place and I would say they're a leg drive movement primarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't really say you should be deadlifting on your back day.
I don't know.
That's like people that do rack pulls for back day.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, are you so serious?
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, I don't. It's weird to like directly target your erectors, but
yeah,
obviously
exactly.
There are people out there that believe they need to. This was obviously back when I was in my phase and era of hating on SBD movements, so like squat, bench, deadlift.
We went through a big period of like hating on those lifts, but I think we've grown out of that a bit.
Yeah,
thankfully.
We've gotten to the stage where everything has its place. There are obviously still some exercises that are very just a waste of time if you're doing them.
Yeah, depending on your goals.
Yeah. Depending on, like, there's always going to be a better alternative out there, but we have gotten a little bit less like caught up on that, I would say.
We're not haters as much.
Yeah. We were very like stubborn and to the point with these sorts of things, to the point where we have stupid takes like that, like deadlifts aren't a leg movement. But no, they're a fantastic, I love them for my hamstrings. Just the sensation you get too with like a stretch and everything. And it's one of those movements that, you know, I progress and get heavier on a machine and stuff. Doesn't feel the same as progressing, getting heavier on a deadlift. It's just a little bit different, something about it. It's the ego that gets involved with it a little bit more, but it's nice. It's a nice feeling. So, yeah, no, they're a leg movement. So, Lewis, you fucking idiot.
I don't even remember what my take was on that.
You probably would agree too. I'm not going to lie. You probably no. I think you did disagree, actually. I think you were like, I actually don't know. I don't remember.
We should probably get like both of our takes on these points.
No, that's right. I think you did sort of disagree a bit. That's why I've sort of kept just like what I've said.
Okay,
and like,
yeah. Right.
But I've got one of yours now.
Yeah. Oh my
God. This one actually would be interesting to see if you agree with it now, considering mm-hmm. you've competed. But Grace said you don't have to Grace said you don't have to have competed to be a bodybuilder. This is from our episode where we said, you know, do you have to have competed to be considered or get the title of a bodybuilder? I believe I said you do, and I'm pretty sure Grace was on the side of you don't. You don't have to have competed to be classed a bodybuilder. But I want to get your take on it now, if you still agree or disagree with it, post-show.
I'm going to stand with my opinion.
Right.
I'm just going to take the logical standpoint and say that I don't think you need to have competed to class yourself as a bodybuilder, because if you look at all of the factors that go into preparing for a competition,
yeah,
and all of the factors that someone goes through in a year, oh, how do I word this? So if you look at all of the processes that a competitor goes through,
yeah,
and if you look at all of the processes that somebody who doesn't compete but still like bodybuilds goes through,
yeah,
it's the same thing, essentially. Like, yeah. I feel like the only thing that separates the two is that the person who's competed has paid the entry fee and stood on stage.
Yeah.
And, like, gone through a prep, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is just a really aggressive cut.
Yeah.
But there's like people that do this. Phase. There's people that do the same processes as well that don't compete. Like, I would say you're a bodybuilder if you train for hypertrophy, if you go through bulking and cutting phases throughout the year, you know, if you're tracking your calories and your macros and you have certain aesthetic goals, then what would you be if you're not a bodybuilder?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope that made sense.
That is the exact same as the take that you had, that, like, your opinion still stands,
yeah,
definitely.
Because
I remember
stands.
Listening back to it and you said the exact same things.
I just
virtually.
Think you they're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Whether you compete or not. I wouldn't sit here and say you're not a bodybuilder because yeah. you've done the exact same things that I've done.
Yeah.
You can't sit here and say I'm a bodybuilder, you're not, just because I've stood on stage.
Yeah.
And like, and are you saying that those people that do step on stage but absolutely half-ass their prep, they've been in the gym for 6 months maybe, just thought they'd yeah. give it a go because it's trendy, and, you know, they've stood on stage, they don't really look the part because they haven't put in all that effort, but are they a bodybuilder compared to someone like you that goes through all those different yeah. periods and those cycles and you take everything so seriously yeah. in regards to your nutrition and your training? And
I think my opinion's changed a little bit on this, I'd say, because I originally said you had to, but now thinking more into it like that, like if you compare someone that's worked out for like 10 years and has been very, like, very much so in, you know, like consistent dieting phases throughout the year, consistently looking at their lifts and progressively overloading and trying to improve certain aspects of their physique, but they've never stood on stage. But then, yeah, you have the person that, yeah, has done it for a year maybe, went through one prep phase, gets on stage, doesn't place, doesn't do anything, but is on stage nonetheless, but they're the bodybuilder, not the person that's done it for 10 years.
You know what?
It's a little bit hard to then take that point.
I think as well, the fact that bodybuilding has become more of a trend, I would say, these days.
Yeah.
That's impacted the actual title,
the status
of
behind
being
it. Yeah.
a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Because it's the fact that literally anyone can do it
yeah.
and step on stage, no matter
if
how
you've got
much
the money, essentially.
How much effort you put in. Yeah. I think that's affected, yeah, the sort of title of being a bodybuilder. But honestly, I don't think there's anything wrong with not competing and labeling yourself as a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
What else would you call it? And
yeah.
the only people I find really deep down that would have an issue with someone who's not competed calling themselves a bodybuilder are those people who have a bit of an ego.
Yeah, I'd say.
And just think
yeah.
that they're a little bit better because they've stood on stage. I understand that competing and the process behind prep is absolutely grueling and
yep.
it's like nothing else. I still don't think that discredits what other people are doing. And
no.
You
yeah.
know, it's the same thing.
I think I made the comparison to, like, if you were to do, say, like, tennis, for instance, if we kept doing social tennis like we do but never compete in a tournament, would you say that you're a tennis player?
Yeah, probably.
But, like, you wouldn't, though, realistically.
Well, you wouldn't, but, like, you play tennis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like it's just a really hard thing to sort of, you can't really make that comparison with this, because people can go their whole life and never compete, but do the whole bulking, cutting, progressive overload, like everything right, but never compete.
I have a perfect example.
But they
for
still
you.
Should be a bodybuilder. If, I considered
if,
it.
If you're still sitting on the fence thinking, oh, well, I don't really agree with Grace, have a look at Sam Sulek. And are you going to sit here and tell me that Sam Sulek's not a bodybuilder?
Because he's never competed.
He's never competed or stood on stage or prepped.
Watch someone be like, he's an aspiring bodybuilder.
Is he a bodybuilder or is he not a bodybuilder?
That's true.
Like, be so...
That's true.
Be so for real.
Yeah, I think I can agree with your take now. I've changed my original take
that.
There.
Let's welcome the title of bodybuilding to everyone.
It's at the end of the day, bodybuilding is the sport, right? What's wrong to say you bodybuild? Like, you know, it's just like you play soccer, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I've definitely changed my opinion on that. All right. This is another one of mine. It's fucking just stupid. So I said that I disagreed. This was in the Ryan Jewers one. This is an old one. He said originally soreness is bad for muscle growth. I disagreed with it and said that DOMS, so like delayed onset muscle soreness or whatever it is genetic.
Whoa.
So... A bit of a miss again from good old little Lewis.
I don't remember. Why would you say it's genetic, though?
I don't know. I listened back to it, and my points were really shit. And essentially, like, I think I was getting confused because he said soreness is bad for muscle growth, and I was like, but everyone gets sore. I was like, but then I was saying, but that then depends on the person because DOMS are genetic, so some people get it worse than others. And I'm like, and you were sitting there saying all the right things about, well, no, it's dependent on the factors of, like, if you're eating properly, if you're sleeping enough, like, recovering, if you're, you know, doing too much volume. And I was there like, nah, it's genetic. Like, it's just a bit genetic. So, obviously, I was wrong. Very wrong. And that if you do get, like, you know, DOMS, you know, if you're new to the gym, you're going to get them a lot worse than others to start with. But it's like if you switch up your training and you do different movements and stuff, you're going to get them to start with. Like when I started doing deadlifts again, fuck me dead. Did my lower back hurt to begin with? That's, you know, that's not genetic. Everyone's would have if you started deadlifting again. It's because it's not, you know, I haven't been using my, like, you know, erectors and stuff in my back like I have until I deadlifted. And then there's also the thing of if you are someone that works out frequently and you constantly get sore for days on end, it's fine to be sore like maybe the next day or two at most. But if you're constantly getting sore and badly, you need to address some problems in either your diet and your recovery. So like either
your
sleep.
Or your training program.
Or your volume. So you're either doing too much and not allowing yourself to recover from it. You're not eating adequately enough. You're not eating enough protein. You're not eating enough. Or you're not sleeping enough and, you know, resting and recovering. It's not about stretching or anything like that. Maybe you could help stretch, but that's not really, I'd say we'll steer away from that. But, yeah, they're probably the big three things that if you get DOMS frequently and you work out often, that's what it would be from. Everyone gets sore. I'm still a bit sore from back the other day, like a tiny bit. But it's not debilitating to the point where, you know, I wouldn't be able to work it out again. But that's also another thing to sort of mitigate that soreness. You don't want to be going into a new session sore with the muscle that you're going to work out. My workouts are spaced about 4 days apart from the one prior to it. So, like, if I do back and tries, there'll be then the rest day after it, then there'll be chest, shoulders and biceps, and then there'll be leg day, then there'll be back and tries again. So 3 days in the middle between them to recover, essentially. So you need to space out your workouts adequately as well. Put in enough rest days, take rest days. And obviously space out your volume as well. Don't just pack it in on one day, you know, and one workout.
Yeah, don't overdo it and don't do stupid movements for high reps, high sets, low rest. Like,
definitely.
We're past that.
Yeah.
DOMS, should I explain what DOMS are or not?
Yeah, go for it. Because Grace, is this from what, like, you've been learning about recently?
I was just trying to look into it last week because I'm trying to, like, wrap my head around how muscle grows on, like, a cellular level. Because if I was to just ask someone, oh, like, what causes muscle growth? And the common consensus is, like, you tear your muscles, and it builds back up bigger and stronger. But that's not necessarily the case. And then I sort of got down into little, like, subtopics as well. And I was looking at
rabbit hole
at DOMS and soreness. So DOMS, as Lewis said, direct onset muscle soreness. From what we believe or what I found on some of the studies I looked at, and obviously I Like, I do follow a couple of good sources.
Yeah.
So DOMS is basically, they call it ultra-structural muscle damage. So what that means is, like, the little components of the muscle are getting damaged.
Yeah.
When you're doing either, as you said, unfamiliar movements, or you can be more prone to get them when you're loading and working eccentrically.
Yeah,
doing,
okay.
like, eccentric yeah. sort of exercises. Yeah. So it's basically just, maybe you could call them tears to, yeah, the little components of your muscles. Or I'm pretty sure they've been looking into it, and it can even be in your, like, tendons and ligaments or something like that. Like, sort of the more, like, sort of like your connective type tissue
Yeah.
And then people were looking into, like, you know, does muscle damage, like, what is the relationship between muscle damage and muscle growth and DOMS and muscle growth and rah-rah. And, like, they're not necessarily related. And at the end of the day, we basically don't know. I don't know. It's we don't know a whole lot on, like, what actually causes muscle growth, because we know it's not correlated with muscle damage or with DOMS.
Yeah.
They can both happen at the same time, but, like, they're not like related.
Directly correlate. Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah. So basically that's what DOMS is. Yeah. And it's not, you know, DOMS aren't indicative of a good session.
No, that's what I was about to say.
And they don't
yeah.
indicate that you are growing muscle.
No. Yeah. And that's, I guess, part of the point you're trying to make there is that, you know, hopefully, you know, if you still are someone out there that believes this, hopefully you're not, but hopefully you know that, yeah, if you, like, muscle soreness after a session or the days after a session, how sore you are doesn't indicate how good your session was.
Yeah,
if you're really sore after your session, that does not mean that it was really good, or doesn't mean that it was even better than someone that wakes up the next day and isn't sore at all.
Yes.
There's literally nothing to back that at all.
It's the same way I used to work out, I know, and I would complete my set of, like, 10 reps.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be pushing to failure, obviously, but I would just sort of keep going with 100 more reps.
You do, like, a finisher.
Until I felt the burn, or I'd do, like, 2 more sets because I didn't feel done.
That's the issue, too, with that school of thought.
Don't do that, guys. Don't be like old me.
That's the issue with that, like, school of thought about soreness being the indicator for muscle growth. Is that it does cause then people to do finishes. Like, we all have done it. I used to do it. You used to do it. Mm-hmm. You used to do it, that's listening, if you don't still. And you do finishes at the end of a workout because you want to just, you know, get the last little bit out of the muscle and stuff and just ensure that you're going to wake up tomorrow sore as fuck. And that meant that your session was good. No, like, it's literally not. I wake up some days the next day, and sometimes I don't even, sometimes you get up and you've had that good of a recovery that you don't even really know you worked what you worked out the day before.
That's what you want.
That is essentially what you want. You want actually less muscle soreness, the least amount you can. But if you get a little bit here and there, that's not the end of the world. It's also not a big deal in terms of if it's, you know, infrequent. That doesn't mean that there's an issue and you've got to, you know, an underlying issue that you've got to address. But if it's happening frequently and you still can't seem to, you know, curb this soreness, and you're going in a couple of days later to do the same thing again, but your chest is still sore, you know, then that's when the issue is and you've got to, you know, address it. So hopefully, you know, everyone listening doesn't still think that they have to, you know, achieve this stupid amount of soreness to be able to have a good session. That's a very bro science way of thinking. That was a whole bro science school of thought, because it makes sense in a bro science way. All right, we've got one more that we'll do. This one comes from Grace again. This one's a bit of just a fun one, I think. It's not as serious as that one. So Grace said, pre-workout is overrated. People just get a caffeine addiction and need to get a bit of discipline. Who cares if you feel like shit? Just go to the gym and get it done. Very blunt.
Yeah, sorry, but facts.
You still stand by that?
That's so fucking facts. Hell yeah.
I still think that you... It's. I will say this. I think it is slightly, marginally overrated because of, A, the cost of pre-workout is ridiculous, and, B, the reliance that a lot of people do have on it, but it still is doing something for you in your workout. Like, you can't sit here and be naive to it and say you're just taking, you know, a rainbow flavored, colored, like,
I'm saying
fluid
it's so
before a workout.
It's not necessary.
It
No, but, it's not.
But imagine, but can you say this maybe? Because now you know, when you didn't know this, when you said that, you have narcolepsy
mm-hmm.
and the effects of caffeine don't really work on you because of how fucking tired you get. You need a fucking speed tablet in order to be feel the effects of caffeine as such. Do you think that you've had some of my pre-workouts before and have gotten a fucking great pump? I know a pump doesn't mean anything.
Yes, so let me counter that this argument.
Okay.
First thing I want to say is, A, I'm not saying that pre-workout doesn't have an effect. It does. I'm saying that it's fucking overrated and not necessary.
Okay.
Second point is I can say when I didn't know that I had narcolepsy, and now that I know I have narcolepsy, that proves that all of you guys are just fucking hooked on the idea of needing some sort of fuel to get you going. When I had True. A literal disorder yeah. where I was constantly feeling the need to fall asleep, and not once did I ever have fucking pre-workout, and I made it to the gym no matter what and had a good session for 95% of the time.
Yeah.
So until you are out there and you have a literal disorder where the fucking neurons and pathways in your brain tell you that it's bedtime every second of the day, but until you experience that,
yeah.
don't tell me that you need something
pre-workout
to get you to the gym. You don't. You're just fucking weak. You're not weak, but you're just reliant you're on reliant. Something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not necessary.
Yeah.
If I can do it, and if I done it with this problem that I have, you can do it as a normal fucking person.
I can say I think that's a really good point. I think what I can say differently this time is that I reckon – pre-workout meals and food is more important
that's
than
completely different.
A pre-workout.
100%. That's different. Yeah. A pre-workout supplement, they're just taking your money. And if you think that it's necessary to have a good workout, then I think you need to dig deeper a little bit.
It's not bad to have it in, like, I will say this. There's nothing wrong with having pre-workout in cycles with caffeine, this is. You know, like, there's nothing wrong with having it, you know, getting a tub, having it, then maybe if you want to get another tub, but get it non-stim and then, you know, like alternate in between a stim and non-stim. There's nothing wrong with that. If you like a bit of a stim, bit of that, you know, caffeine kick up the ass you get and stuff. You should cycle it though, if you can, with caffeine, because you don't want to just be having caffeine non-stop every, like, you should have a little bit of caffeine every day. There's nothing wrong with that at all, but you shouldn't be having these stupid amounts that are in pre-workout late in the day, every day, 500 milligrams, can't sleep that night. That's when it's an issue.
Look, I can understand people like taking things like pre-workout because it sort of just makes them feel a little bit better.
Bit of a placebo, you'd say, yeah.
Well, it's like placebo somewhat. Like, obviously it does have an effect, but, like, you don't have to take it to have a good workout.
Yeah.
But, like, I understand that some people just like to take it because they like the taste, or they like the fact that it might give them a pump, or, you know, it does make them feel a little bit more energized. But as soon as someone sits here and says it's, like, underrated and, you know, it's necessary for me to have a good workout, that's where I think, like, just fucking get off your ass and get it done. And I'm sure your workout will be just the fucking same.
You'd have to be one of the very few influencers in this space that think that about pre-workout, well, which is, like, quite – no, but I'm not saying that means you're wrong. I'm just saying it's very interesting, actually, that there aren't more people that are like that. Maybe that is saying something bigger about the thing, that there's a big caffeine addiction out there.
Well, it must be some sort of addiction because, like, I don't know, even sometimes you, Lewis, you'll be like, you have to have your pre-workout, and you've gone through all the different types of pre-workouts, like the non-stim, the pump ones, this one, that one, and you've got to have it, or, like, you're immediately just like, fuck, like, my workout's going to be shit. And
yeah,
sometimes
I get
just
into that mindset.
I have a feeling you are slightly addicted to pre-workout. And
I'm addicted to caffeine. I can say that 100%.
You have it in your head that if you don't have your pre-workout, your session's going to be shit. And I can guarantee you your session will be the exact fucking same.
I can agree with you. I'd say at least at the moment I'm addicted to caffeine. I went to the fucking servo and bought this ghost can for $8 I spent on it because I was like, well, I like to have some form of caffeine in the morning, obviously a little bit after I wake up. But I like to have some form of caffeine in my day. I was probably a bit redundant, didn't need to have this because I am going to go to the gym, the Savo, and I do have a stim pre-workout that I can take that has plenty of caffeine in it. But it's just, yeah, it's hard not to get addicted to these things because obviously there's caffeine in it. It's a drug and, you know, drugs we all get addicted to. But it's like the taste of it, like everything about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And look, I'm not sitting here saying stop taking pre-workout, rah, rah, rah. Like, sure, take it if you like. Take it if it gives you a little bit of peace of mind or it does make you feel a little bit better. But, like, you don't have to take it.
No, I can back your advocation for this. I can, because you're fighting, like, this is one of those, remember, have you seen that, like, picture online? It's like, what? Or this is something you die on a hill for. Is this your die on a hill sort of thing?
I would die on a hill for this.
This is that, like, you know, that. Have you seen that picture, that meme of that guy that's standing there and there's, like, a huge crowd, like, looking back at the bloke?
Yeah, I should,
and it's
maybe,
like, what's an opinion that, like, has you like this?
I should post that.
That is 100% you with pre-workout because, yeah. Like, I'll say this. I know you're not sitting here saying it has no effect because that's originally, I think, what I got caught up with is, like, because it literally, they're, it does. But
and I think I was saying it has no effect because it didn't work on me.
You.
But now we know why.
Yes. But it definitely will. But even the effects that you may not necessarily feel but are happening as well. Like they're, I guess, a bit more indirect, you'd say. So not things like a pump that you can see and know and go, oh, yeah. But like things like the mitigation of, you know, fatigue and stuff like that. Obviously, it's working at a very small amount. It's not going to be like night and day difference. So I can understand where you then say, come jump in and say, you know, they're overrated because, you know, you got to spend all this money on them and stuff. But yeah, that's, no, it's, I can admire you for having that opinion and staying with it still.
And as you said before, pre-workout nutrition is
what's
far,
important.
Far more important than a pre-workout supplement.
Definitely. I will say that. I could now at this time, like, go to the gym without pre-workout. It's actually kind of bad. I'm trying to think back to last time I went to the gym without some pre-workout. It's because we have a supplement sponsor now, right? I just can't not, right? They're fueling my addiction, Grace. Help. Limitless. Stop. They just brought out the new fucking Sebum cans too, and I'm like, oh, I've got to try them.
They,
like,
have too many good products
and
available.
They've got Ghost pre-workout, Ghost energy cans now and stuff too. I'm like, fuck, man. You can't be doing that to me. So, look, I've had my caffeine for the day. I won't be having any more. If I go to the gym now, it'll be with some non-stim stuff that I do have at home. Oh, that's all right. But yeah, they're some of our old takes. Still agree with some.
Yeah.
So we weren't completely useless, right? We weren't completely useless.
There's still some out there though that are pretty questionable.
It's funny to think. I was looking back even at the videos. We looked so different than a year ago too.
I like, he looked so slay back then.
Oh, what, with your blonde hair?
Yeah, I'm not blonde anymore.
Oh, stop.
I look so good. And my skin, bro. Anyway,
I look like a child in some of those videos. I look back and go, how do I look like that? Like, what the fuck? Like, I look like a kid. But, yeah, thank you all for listening. If you remember some of those takes, you're a fucking OG and you deserve a kiss on the lips as well because you're a beast. But thank you all for listening, guys. We hope you have a blessed week. And we hope you enjoy the Olympics. Go the Aussies. More gold's out coming our way, surely.
Let's go.
We love you all and
we'll have a great week.
Catch you next week.
Catch you on the flip.
See you later.
Bye.